blessing.
Blessing.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 160, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, give ear unto my cry, and to my voice attend, though far from home, and from thy house to thee my prayers ascend. All stanzas of Psalter 160.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, the first chapter, beginning with verse 13. Romans 1, verses 13 through the end. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans 1, verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, and that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, and they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal, righteous, holy God, who will render unto men so justly that recompense which is meet, which is fit, which is suitable to him because of his own sin, then, Lord, who of us can stand in thy judgment seat? Who of us can appear without guilt and without sin? Who of us will be received in that great day of days, standing in our own strength, as if that every seed of wickedness did not lay within our own hearts? O thou puttest yet a fence, thou puttest yet a wall about us with our children, that that which lieth within us does not break forth into open wickedness. Lord, when thou wouldst leave us but for one moment to ourselves, then we would also reveal to this whole world what lies within our hearts. Oh, that thou may keep us and that thou may watch over us, but that thou may also forgive us our many sins. Oh, do grant us pardon in the blood of thy dear Son, that we may not be cast out forever and forever, but that we may be received once again in favor. But wilt thou also wash us and cleanse us from that corruption that lieth within, of which we are not able to rid ourselves? And but even thy servant did cry out from under, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, that thou may wash us then, Lord, may thou cleanse us, and wilt thou renew our hearts unto a new life, that we may desire to walk in the way of thy commandments, to walk uprightly in righteousness and in true holiness. Oh, that we may be given a careful walk upon this world, and before the world, and before one another, and but especially in thy own holy sight, that that which is done in secret may also, with a lively impression, be done before thee. Oh, that we may receive of thee favor and communion. Lord, it can only be in and through forgiveness, because of thine only begotten Son. Oh, that thou may then exalt him in the life of each and every one of us, that we may see our need of him, that we may see that without him That we are unable to reach that standard of obedience which is required by thy holy justice. Oh, that his obedience may become for us such a great wonder, that we may desire it to be imputed also unto us, and that our disobedience may be imputed unto him, that it may be our sin also, which has been borne upon that cursed tree, that it may also be our righteousness that he has wrought here upon this world, when he did place himself under the law, when he did fulfill thy law, and when he did say, which of you convinceth me of sin? Lord, thou art perfect in all thy ways, and so received of thy Father, oh, that we also may be received in that same blessed righteous obedience. Oh, give us a desire, therefore. We have no desire and no need by nature. Oh, that thou may work it for the first time or by renewal in the heart of each and every one of us. Also, may it be in this week of preparation, Lord, that it may be in the hearts of many who must stand on the outside. Oh, that there may be a holy jealousy born within, that desire with a Ruth of old may be born, thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. Wilt thou remember all in a natural way also, in the many needs and cares that are in this life? Lord, be with all that are in distress, all those that do suffer the awful consequences of sin, when nature has raged in many places, and where there are so many that are left distraught in this world, hungry and thirsty and naked and exposed to wind and weather. Lord, may thou give a heart to each and every one of us for them, to lay them before thy throne, and also to give to those who are in need. Strengthen all the caregivers in their role, in their task, in their labors. May thou remember the nations of this world. Lord, thy judgments, they are so just, because as we have read together out of thy word, our wickedness that has reached to a tremendous height, and thou hast in thy long suffering still spared us to this very moment. But it cannot but be that thy judgments are reserved for the day of wrath, when they will be poured out also upon us as a great nation in this world. Oh, Lord, when the elections do come up in this and in our sister nation, that thou may remember us. Lord, may thou thyself provide. May thou thyself watch over these elections. Give us each one to do our personal duty. But Lord, thou hast the heart of all men in thy hands. Wilt thou then give us rulers? Wilt thou give us lawmakers? Wilt thou give us judges that may rule and judge according to thy holy word, that may lead us as a flock back again to thy word and to thy testimonies? Oh, thou hast the power from above. Lord, we beseech thee, wilt thou remember us in mercy, and deal not with us as we so justly deserve? And wilt thou look upon all those that give themselves in the service of our nations?
Lord, their lives, they are from men's side so often in great danger. May thou be on their right and on their left, and may thou give them to look up unto thee in all their needs, and bring them safely home again to their loved ones. Wilt thou give solution to the many troubles and difficulties in this world? When Satan rages, Lord, may thou thyself watch over, and may thou supply, and may thou bring again to the knowledge of thee, that the idols may be put away, that the false doctrines may be buried, and that thy name may be brought into the foreground, may be taught in the schools, and may be exalted in the hearts by thy Spirit. Do remember all our children, the school, the teachers, the parents, all those that labor for the welfare of our children. Lord, bless these means for their eternal welfare. And wilt thou give us students and children who may grow up in the fear of thy name to be parents and to be office bearers. May it even be to be servants in thy vineyard. Lord, that may fear thee, oh, remember us, be with us in this afternoon hour. Wilt thou supply what we stand in need of to give instruction, Lord, that it may be according to the meaning of thy Holy Spirit. And wilt thou give thy blessing upon it for the mind, for the soul, that we may be instructed by thee, that thou may be our teacher, and that that school of free and sovereign grace may be filled to capacity. Lord, look upon us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is received, we'll sing from Psalter number 12, stanzas 1 through 4. Lord, rebuke me not in anger. Chasten sore, I waste away. Pity my distress and hear me. Lord, how long wilt thou delay? We announce, the Lord willing, a male members' meeting will be held in the church basement on Tuesday, September 30th at 7:30 p.m. for the purpose of finalizing the sale of the parsonage. Psalter number 12, stanzas 1 through 4. Are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? Indeed we are, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. So we have considered, congregation, 2 weeks ago, the depth of the awful fall of man. Maybe also learn something of this by experience. What a humbling way that the Lord has with men, that He has with His own people, to show to them the reality, to show to them the truth of the depth of that fall, and not only to show it to them, but also to give them to acquiesce in it, to give them to agree with it. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs, to give them to say, truth, Lord. May the Lord ever give you to come in the place of that woman. That is not a place where we bring ourselves with our intellectual abilities. No, that is the place that the Lord is bringing His church by the power, by the great effectual power of His Holy Spirit. And we wish to consider something of that with you in this afternoon out of Lord's Day 4, questions 9 through 11, which Lord's Day speaks about the punishment of God upon sin. Question 9 speaks about a just punishment. Doth not God then do injustice to man by requiring from him in his law that which he cannot perform? Answer, not at all. For God made man capable of performing it, but man, by the instigation of the devil and his own willful disobedience, deprived himself and all his posterity of those divine gifts. Question 10 speaks about a certain punishment. Will God suffer such disobedience and the rebellion to go unpunished? Answer, by no means. But He is terribly displeased, and with our original as well as actual sins, and will punish them in His just judgment, temporally and eternally, as He hath declared, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Question 11 speaks about a consistent punishment. Is not God then also merciful? Answer, God is indeed merciful, but also just. Therefore, His justice requires that sin which is committed against the most high majesty of God be also punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul. Thus, the punishment of God upon sin, first, a just punishment. Second, a certain punishment. And third, a consistent punishment. Doth not God then do injustice to man? Who could congregation raise a more abominable, a more God-dishonoring question, as we read it here in question 9. Doth not God then do injustice to man? Thus a charge against God. Just as if God was an unjust judge. What does an unjust judge do? An unjust judge condemns those who are innocent. Doth not God then do injustice to man? The thought of an unjust judge in this world that is abominable even to the most wicked people that we can find in this world. And this is not just an earthly judge here, a judge who is capable of doing such a thing, but here it is a charge against a holy and a righteous God. See then what the depraved thought of man is capable of. See how that the knowledge of God, that true knowledge of our Creator has been lost. See also what a rebellion, what a blasphemy that is living within the heart of sinful, fallen man. Doth not God then do injustice to man by requiring of him, from him in his law that which he cannot perform? What is that? What is that that God is requiring from man? That is perfect obedience. That is in thought, in word, and in deed. That is with his heart, with his mind, with his entire being. Does the Lord not know that we are no longer capable of doing this? Yes. Yes, He knows this. And still, does He require it? Yes. How is that possible? How does the Lord deal with man? How does the Lord deal with His rational creature? The Lord has dealt with His rational creature. The crown of His creation, the Lord has dealt with him in a covenantal manner. It is possible that the Lord had dealt with His creature just like a servant. No covenant. You simply do as I tell you to do. It is possible that the Lord dealt with His rational creature just like a spoiled child. That He would simply give him everything that he would desire. And the Lord did neither. But the Lord has dealt with that crown of His creation. The Lord has dealt with him by way of a covenant. By way of an agreement with man. That is, in the sovereign good pleasure of the Lord covenanted with Adam in paradise after that He created him, after that He made him, then He came to him to covenant with him. That is a proof of the excellency of that nature in which God had created mankind, that He created him with that ability to actually covenant with God. That is not true of the rest of the creation. That is not true even of the angels in heaven. And then we know that covenant which was made in paradise is a covenant which has been broken in our deep fall. But what does that mean? What does it actually mean in particulars when we say that that covenant of works that is a broken covenant? That does not mean that every part of that covenant that has now been so completely wiped away. It does not mean that that covenant is so completely gone as if that it never even existed. No, there is no ability of man to receive anything from that broken covenant. But how is it when we break a covenant in this life? How is it when we break a covenant that we make with one another? Then he who breaks that covenant, he has a debt. He who breaks that covenant owes something because of that covenant, because of the breaking of that covenant. Thus we know that covenant of works was broken. Thus we know that man can no longer claim anything upon the basis of that covenant because it is broken. But that does not mean that that covenant is not able to continue to require anything from man. There was also a possibility worked into that covenant that man should break that covenant. There were provisions. There was a threat that the Lord say, if you should break this covenant, then there will be a punishment. Thus, when man broke that covenant, then the requirements from the side of God, they have not gone away. And the threatened punishment that was part of that covenant that is certainly holding in its force. But that covenant that is no longer able to give to us the reward that it promised. Why? Has anything of that covenant changed? Was there a weakness in that covenant? Has there come a weakness in that covenant? Has there come a change in God? No. No, that covenant, and even the ability of that covenant to give a reward unto man, that is not changed in and of itself. How do we know that? How was it that Christ himself has received his reward? How was it that Christ himself has received that reward not only for himself, but on behalf of his own church? That was in no other way but the fulfillment, the complete fulfillment of the requirements of that covenant. That was in no other way than the perfect obedience of that law of God, which the Lord had promised that should man fulfill, then he will give him life, he will give him eternal life. Thus, that covenant that has not lost its ability in and of itself to give life, no, but that covenant has lost its ability to give life to fallen mankind. Why? Because fallen mankind can no longer live up to the requirements of that covenant, Paul says. We have become weak through the flesh. But now our point, and what is our point? because man has become weak through his flesh. That does not mean that God no longer holds to the requirements of his covenant. Because that covenant cannot give us life, that does not mean that God can no longer and will no longer carry out his threatened punishment. That demand for perfect obedience, even unto fallen man, that is so righteously upheld by God. And why ought it not be? Doth God then do injustice to man? Not at all. Thus our instructors, they are very clear. Our instructors are very emphatic. According to the Holy Scriptures, not at all. Man says that God is unjust. His demand is unjust because of our inability. The Lord says your inability is your own fault. Not at all. For God made man capable of performing it. But man, by the instigation of the devil and his own willful disobedience, deprived himself and all his posterity of those divine gifts. Of what is that inability of man the dreadful result? That is our willful disobedience, our willful rebellion, our own wretched choice. Thus, where do our instructors point us? They point this congregation back to paradise. And man has always to go back to paradise to learn where the foundation, the cause of his guilt is lying. But was not that also, as our instructors say, they say it was by the instigation of the devil. Is it not then actually the fault of the devil? No doubt. And that devil was also cursed. And it was impossible that that fall had ever taken place outside of the instigation of Satan. Why? Because men, he had nothing in him, in his creation, that went out after sin, that went out after rebellion. There was nothing from within man that leaned, as it were, in this awful direction. And therefore, it was necessary that that fall would take place, that Satan should come and outside temptation and outside influence. And yet, man does not escape his guilt. Why not? Because Satan can suggest, but Satan cannot force. We heard it. Because in his dealings, the Lord has left that will of men so free to make his own choice. The Satan did not compel our father Adam. He was given a rational will. And with that rational will, he made his own free choice. By his own willful disobedience, deprived himself and all his posterity of those divine gifts. Thus it was that disobedience itself It was that disobedience of Adam itself which has deprived man of that ability that man is now throwing, as it were, in the face of his Creator. From then on, from that moment on, that will of man has become nothing but corrupt, to desire and to choose everything in his rebellion against God. That is why God is so righteous, and certainly not unjust, to continue to require from you and from me that perfect obedience, which is the standard of his holy law. Man has fallen so deeply, but congregation, God has not changed. How can a holy and a righteous God demand from man anything less than a perfect obedience? And not only obedience, but the satisfaction for his sin, the payment, the recompense. That is the punishment. That is our second thought. A certain punishment. Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? The natural man, congregation, has no love to God. The natural man has no desire. He sees no need. He has no longing that the name of God would be honored and glorified. He has more concern about himself than he has for that name of God. And as long as he is not punished, he does not mind what happens unto that holy name. There are moments, there are times, there are seasons of that new life in which it becomes different. There are seasons where that people may so desire that the name of God be glorified, that it comes over and above the need of their own soul. Oh, that blessed upholding of the pure attributes of God that is seen as so high in the life of that sinful people. There are blessed seasons. Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? That is the hope. That is the wish of the heart of the natural man. And perhaps, congregation, it is also our expectation that God will suffer all our sin to go unpunished, that God will deny himself, that God will step over his own justice, that he may free man. That God, although he has threatened, he will not actually carry it out, as if he is like unto us. Will such a hope, will such a desire, will such an expectation ever come to pass? By no means. Impossible. But he is terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins, and will punish them. In his just judgment, temporally and eternally, as he hath declared, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Congregation, have we ever experienced anything of what our fathers call here the displeasure of God? The displeasure of God against sin. We do not ask. If you know that God is righteous, and if you know that God is displeased against sin, we all know this. That is that doctrine in which we have been educated since the days of our youth. But have you ever experienced anything, the smallest part, of that displeasure of God against sin? Was that displeasure of God ever wrought upon your soul? Did that displeasure of God ever make you tremble? Did that displeasure of God ever become powerful enough that it would make you careful in your life? That you would not sin against him? Punishment. And what is that punishment that we read God will bring upon sin? What is threatened? Our children know that. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Death. The wages of sin is death. That is the punishment. What is death? Death is separation. There is a family also here. They feel that. We feel it when we die. There is separation. There is separation between the body and the soul. What an awful separation. Those two friends that are so closely united, the body and the soul, they are, as it were, ripped apart in death. Then there is separation between us and our loved ones. There is separation between us and that whole multitude of riches that we have amassed for ourselves in our life. A separation. And oh, how we do fear this separation. To leave our loved ones and to leave our treasures all behind. And that separation of our soul from our body. Congregation, did we ever mourn? Did we ever bemoan? Did we ever tremble because of separation from God? That is actually spiritual death. Can there be a greater? Can there be a more severe punishment than to be separated from God? To be separated from the greatest good. This separation, death, the punishment that is so certain. Has already taken place in its first form. That is spiritual death. Did that spiritual death ever become your burden? That separation of your soul from God? Was this ever the source of your sorrow? Did we ever weep a single tear because we missed him? But now the most severe form of that separation that is still to be experienced, that is the absence of his presence, that is the absence of his communion, that is the absence of his favor in every possible way. When the Lord would say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Here we experience separation. That is separation from God, but we still receive his common blessings. We still receive the comforts of every day above so many in this world. And there is the greatest thing. There is still today hope. Thus, we do not live yet in an eternal despair. Even though we are separated from God. But now our instructors, they're speaking about this final punishment. That is an eternal separation. And in that eternal separation, all of these outward blessings, they're going to pass away. And what shall it then be? To be without God forever, delivered unto the tormentors until we pay what is our due. An eternal despair. Why? Because we can never pay. Forever and forever impossible. Then an eternal reproach of our conscience. The worm that does not die. And a fire that is not quenched. Especially because of the blessings. Especially because of the word. Especially because of the warnings, especially because of the invitations that have come to us in a day of grace. Cast, we read, into outer darkness there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The smoke, we read, of their torment that ascendeth up forever and forever. They have no rest, day nor night. Will God? Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? By no means. But he is terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins and will punish them in his just judgment, temporally and eternally. Congregation, if we only had an impression for the first time or by renewal, how displeasing that our sins are unto God. Oh, then we would not sin so easily. If we only had an impression of the certainty of our punishment, then we would put away our vain hopes
that God is going to look through his fingers at our sin. Had we only a little impression of the terribleness of his anger, that God is a consuming fire. If we had only a little impression how awful that shall be to be forever without God, but also how blessed is his favor. And where is the impression? In you. In me. Oh, we are by nature so hard. We are by nature so calloused. We are by nature so cold to this warning. Why? Because we are dead. Because we are dead in trespasses and in sins. And the love of God does not draw us. And the fear of God, the displeasure of God, that does not make us afraid. Or is it different? Let us sing first. Psalter 232, 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people he will speak, and to his saints. But let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 232.
Thank you.
Is not God then also merciful? God is indeed merciful, but also just. Therefore, his justice requires that sin which is committed against the most high majesty of God be also punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul. We hear so much today, congregation, about the love of God, about the mercy of God. And you will hear it, young people, in the university, in the colleges. You need to have a positive mindset. You have to think positive. Where does it come from? This comes from hell itself. What does Satan say? Eat and drink, because tomorrow you die. Do not think about what comes after. Oh, we heard it from a young person years ago in our own school. She was fearful for death, for eternity. She said to me, "My mother told me not to think about it. My mother told me not to think about it." Congregation, oh, is that in our own circles? That is straight out of a bottomless pit. Children, young people, this is clear in that holy word of God, that God is not going to pass over our sin, but that he is going to visit it in his just judgment. You say, is God not also merciful? Certainly he is. Or we can read it in the Word of God. We can read it from the first page even unto the last page. Oh, his mercy. His mercy that is great above the heavens. His mercy that endureth forever. But that mercy is not as the natural man thinks that mercy is. That mercy is not the same as weakness. Just as Eli, who spoke to his children but did not carry out the punishments upon his children. No, what does the Lord say? He says, "These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. When I kept silence, then thou thoughtest that I was altogether one as thyself." Just like a man who does not carry out his punishment upon his son, his daughter. But the Lord says, "I will reprove thee, and I will set them in order before thine eyes." God does not uphold one of his attributes at the expense of the other of his attributes. That is impossible, because then God himself would not continue to be God. God does not fulfill his mercy at the expense of his justice. God does not step off of his throne of justice in order that he may ascend the throne of his mercy. No, God is going to show that mercy in the way of justice. What did we sing together? What David sang, "Mercy
and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Thus, the justice of God that will be satisfied, the justice of God is going to be satisfied with a punishment that is equal unto the crime that man has committed. What do our fathers say here? That we have committed this crime against the Most High Majesty of God. Thus, every sin that is high treason, every sin that is rebellion against the King of Kings, not only so, but that is committed in our body as well as in our soul, that is in our whole being, our thought, our word, our deed. Therefore, our fathers say it must be punished with extreme, that is everlasting punishment, both of body and soul. No sin, congregation, is no light matter, as it is often passed on to be. Sometimes maybe we even mock with it, children. Maybe we even make a little laughter out of sin. But one day we're going to feel how serious that sin is. When will that be? Oh, that may be in the day of our death. The day of our death, when we appear before that Most High Majesty of God. In the day of our death, when we begin to pay the price that we shall never cease paying. Then we are going to experience the seriousness of sin. Or it may be that we experience this already in this life. Or it may be that we experience this in the day that the Lord says to us, so far, and no further. In the day that the Lord stops us in our mad career, then we will feel something of the majesty and of the greatness of the righteousness and of the holiness of God. And in that day we will come to stand in awe of God. And in that day we will begin to tremble because of sin. Or we will begin in that day to love God and to hate sin. And why hate sin? Because we are so afraid of the punishment? No, not in order to avoid that punishment, no. But because we cannot be separated from that God who we love. Because that love, that desires the righteous name of God to be magnified, to be glorified. Love. Can we love a just God? And we love a God who is certain to punish our sin. Yes, that is possible. What did Job say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Oh, that is a people who come to learn to love that God as he is. That is a people who come to learn to love that God in every one of his attributes, who learn to bow under that justice of God. There is no more blessed place in our whole life. What can be more blessed than to love God for who he is? To love him even when I have to experience his displeasure against my sin. To love him even though I feel that his wrath that is against me. To love him even when his word testifies against me that I am lost. To love him even though I expect an everlasting condemnation. And to say, oh, if I must be cast forever and forever away, then there I desire to sing to the honor and to the glory of that just and that righteous God. Is that possible? Is that possible to love him so much? Yes, it is. How is it possible? The apostle said we love him because he first loved us. And then congregation, the Lord does no injustice. No injustice. Even though he would cast us away forever and forever. Blessed lesson. May you ever learn that lesson. Oh, that is a lesson by which that people, they may come to experience the mercy of the Lord. Blessed place that the Lord is bringing his people to, is it not? What is in our heart? Rebellion. God, he does me injustice because he requires of me that which I am not able to perform. Congregation, if that never changes, oh, then before us is a righteous justice and judgment of God forever and forever. But we read, even in the last moments, hours of his life, it changed so much in the heart of that man who learned the opposite, who said, we indeed justly, because we receive the due reward of our deeds. May you ever learn that. May this ever come by the Spirit's operation from the bottom of your heart. We indeed justly. We receive the due reward of our deeds. And then, that simple cry, Lord, remember me. That is now the people who will be with him in paradise. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have no impression
Our hearts are so hard. They are so cold. To all thy warnings, oh, we beseech thee, Lord. We beseech thee for the power of thy Holy Spirit to bring this thy word into our hearts. Oh, thou can change us in a moment. Wilt thou convert us? And wilt thou bring us to the place of that blessed man? We indeed justly, and give us his cry and his blessed portion with thee. With thee in paradise. Oh, give that holy jealousy while it is still a day of grace. Bring us now safely to our homes. And wilt thou bless thy word of this day? Give us meditation thereon. Help us in the week to come, especially when it is a week of preparation. Oh, give us then a little time and give us a little repose from all the busyness of this life to consider these most necessary matters. Wilt thou also remember the friend who has been in our midst for these many weeks and who will go in this week back to the old country? Lord, may thou go with him. May thy presence attend him where he goes and where he stays. Visit him also with thy favor and blessing. Wilt thou forgive all that was sinful this day and crown thy word with thy blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. 444, stanzas 3 and 4. He spake to Moses from the midst of thunder. He brake the bonds of Israel asunder and showed to them his mighty works and ways. The Lord is gracious and of kind compassion. He saved his own in truly wondrous fashion, to anger slow. He loved them all their days. 3 and 4 of Psalter 444. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.